The Marty O Show can be heard on your favorite podcasts, such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Player FM, Odyssey, Deezer, and Amazon Music. You can also listen to the show by going to themartyoshow.weebly.com. Just click on the orange play button on the player. While there, you can also contact Martin by going to the contact page. No need to give your email address or name if you don't want to. Just put in any name, any email address, such as this email is not real at gmail.com. Or you could also write to Martin at themartyoshow@gmail.com. Share the show on your social media and with your friends. And follow Martin on Twitter. Just use the search feature and type in the @, then type The Marty O Show. And thank you from Martin.
And hello, United States of America and the rest of the world. This is The Marty O Show. This is not a show for Democrats. This is not a show for Republicans. This is a show for the American people and for all the people in the free world. And I'm dedicating this show to two people. I'm not going to mention their names for obvious reasons, but I will say Kelly and Joe, if I may use their first initials, that are both in the southern part of America. And Kelly, again, using the initials, I've known most of my life. And, well, again, this show is dedicated to them down there because of the topic. Let's get into it, shall we? I would like you all to hear one person I have always admired, the late, great Golda Meir.
This is something that must be realized by people in the world, and unless they realize that, there is no understanding of the entire situation. Their quarrel with the Arabs is not a quarrel for a piece of land. It's not for territory. It's not for anything concrete. They just refuse to believe that we have the right to exist at all.
Quote from Golda Meir, "You cannot negotiate peace with somebody who has come to kill you." Does that sound extreme? No. I have Hamas coming up that are saying that. I would like you to hear a Muslim man who gets it. This man, I admire this man. And he's trying to actually educate the world about what real history is. Now, you're going to hear a few seconds of who he's addressing, what I'm about to play you. This woman is going to say something for about 5-6 seconds, and then he's going to try to set her straight.
Refuting Mia Khalifa's misinformation on history.
Israel has only been a state since 1948. Palestine is thousands of years old.
Sorry, Mia, you are wrong. Israel is 3,000 years old, 75 years young. And this is not coming from a Jew, but from a proud Muslim. The prophets of God whom I believe in were Israelites. A significant number of these prophets disseminated their teachings in the land of Canaan, a land which Joshua bin Nun later renamed Israel. And then King David proclaimed Jerusalem as the nation's capital. Even Jesus of Nazareth, Mia, called the land Israel in the Gospel of Matthew. The Roman Emperor Hadrian expelled Jews from Israel, erasing the name Judea. He supplanted it with the Roman Latin term Syria Palestina, which evolved into Palestine. Similarly, the city of Shechem was changed to Neapolis or Nablus, which means in Roman Latin, new city or new place. The Jewish people, dear Mia, are not foreign colonialists in the land of Israel. I wish you to inform your audience that Israelis and Palestinians ought to coexist peacefully, and that peace is the only way, not marring history or disseminating falsehoods. Please share this video as it may reach Mia and others so that they know the truth. And the truth shall set you free.
Along the same lines, I'd like to play something for you. Again, I do not know who this person is. This was sent to me. I watched it. You're going to listen to it.
What's Palestine? I am requesting you to tell me what's Palestine. Do you know who you're chanting for and what you're chanting? When you say free Palestine, you are not talking about Gaza. Do you know that? Gaza is not Palestine. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. It is calling to end the existence of Israel from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, which includes the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. and the entire state of Israel, the only Jewish state in the entire world. 7 million Jews and 2 million Arabs live here in peace. With your Free Palestine idea, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us all to go? What do you think is gonna happen the day Israel stops existing? Do you not think that if Hamas takes over, if the damage they are already doing, having full complete control over the tiny area that is Gaza, what do you think is gonna happen the day they have full complete control over the state of Israel? What do you think is gonna happen to you chanting Free Palestine in the streets right now? If you want freedom for the people of Gaza, who, by the way, you guys are categorizing together as Palestinians, you have no idea who lives there. If you want freedom for these people, you stand with Israel to end whoever is actually occupying them. Israel has never attacked Gaza unprovoked. Israel has never, ever, ever targeted the Gazan civilians during any war or any attack that we have inflicted upon Hamas and their terror targets, the places they hide their rockets and guns and ammunition, which are civilian homes, hospitals, schools. The people of Gaza can't speak themselves against Hamas because they know they'll be killed. You, from the comfort of your home in your Western country, think that you can speak for the people of Gaza about who is inflicting terror on them. 500,000 Gazans cross to Israel every single day to work. We don't have to let Gazans come and work here. We don't have to give them food, electricity, and water. We don't have to warn them to go out of their houses when we attack Hamas targets. We don't have to do anything. And somehow we are held to the standard that we do. Hamas kills their political opponents. They have not held elections since they've been elected in 2006. Even after they have GoPro'd a massacre of 1,300 people, not people killed by rockets, massacre by hand, you still don't know who they are. You still don't realize they do the same thing to the people of Gaza. You still support these people. If you want Gaza to be free, you support Israel annihilating Hamas and freeing them of the people of Gaza.
That actually goes on a little bit more, but I'm going to leave it there. But she's actually absolutely right. In Israel, there are Muslims and Jewish people that work together. It's not an apartheid state like you've been told or you hear on the news. In an apartheid state, you can't vote. You really have no rights. It's almost like one race controls everything and you're not allowed to do anything. And by the way, I want to mention that the critics of Israel call it, you hear it all the time, it's an apartheid state. It's not. Muslims can vote in Israel. They can work together. They can join the army. As a matter of fact, I think I've got a captain that was a Muslim coming up who says some amazing things about Israel, who's a Muslim. Israel is the only place, a little postage stamp. The top of Africa, a third of Africa is Muslim. Then you go to the Middle East part, and it's like a tremendous amount of Muslim countries. And none of them want the Palestinian people. Yet all the countries, America, Canada, Australia, London, France, all these countries are saying we got to take more in. We have to take as many Muslims in from these refugees. We have to save them. And you see what they're doing. They're now causing massive destruction and hasn't even, in my opinion, is only the beginning. There are protests by the millions of people in London, Times Square in New York, Paris in France, all these countries, Australia, they're all coming here. And over our southern border as well, the amount of terrorists that have actually been caught there is astronomical. But no Muslim country's taking them. Jordan says they don't want them. And actually, Palestinians were once actually in Jordan. They were actually kicked out. Again, real history. They're not going to teach you this in high school. Now, I want to continue this. Now, we have Ilhan Omar. We've got Rashida Tlaib. These are Muslims in our Congress. And they really support Hamas. They've been saying so. I would like you to hear somebody. Well, let me just play it. We'll talk about it on the other end of it.
Yesterday in U.S. Congress, Rashida Tlaib didn't use her time to speak about Russia or Iran or Afghanistan or any other human rights issue in the world. Nope. She wanted to once again smear Israel. Take a look.
No person, not one Palestinian, Israeli, anyone deserves to suffer or die for who they are, what they believe, or where they were born. The sooner we end unconditional support for Israel's apartheid government, the sooner we can begin making good on that belief.
Rashida, as an Arab who actually lives here, unlike you, I'm tired of your incitement and disinformation about my country. I am a part of the 20% of Israel that isn't Jewish. And despite facing struggles as a minority, I do have equal rights under the law. Under apartheid, Arabs wouldn't be able to vote, to be Supreme Court justice, to be doctors, lawyers, musicians, journalists, member of Knesset, the Israeli parliament, to be officers in the Israeli Defense Forces, commanding other Jewish soldiers, like I did as a commander. Israel does not and has never had an apartheid system, not in the West Bank and certainly not within Israel. Put it in your head. Sadly, this isn't the first time Rashida has used her position to insert herself as the U.S. congressional rep for Palestine.
Amazing. And that's what I said earlier, that Israel is not an apartheid state. But if you want to end Israelis' existence, you're going to say whatever you want to make it look bad. And that's what they do. Where did this all begin? In my humble opinion, and I'm not referring to where did it all begin throughout history. I'm referring to just in the past few weeks when Hamas paraglided into Israel, slaughtered those people right on the spot, knocking on the doors, killing them in their home, in the fair that they were having, the celebration where they were all actually right over where they paraglided into, killed right on the spot and taken, kidnapping. And the young girls that you've all seen that were, I won't go into details, you've seen it, where they were taken and paraded in Hamas, Gaza Strip. What started that? Now, this is my humble opinion. I don't think I am far off at all. This, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear Kirby speaking at the White House with the reporter asking about an exchange program for prisoners and what it cost us. I'll see you on the other side of it.
Aren't going to be released for nothing in exchange.
Didn't they also get 5 Iranians?
They will get 5 Iranians as well. Yeah, Jackie.
And we need to add $6 billion on top of that.
This is the deal that we were able to strike.
Now, what you just heard was exchange for 5 prisoners with 5 prisoners or whatever, but we gave them $6 billion. Now, let me give you the question. What was the very first war America had after the Revolutionary War? May I see you raise your hands, anybody? No, it was not the War of 1812. It was about 12 years before that, if anything. The very first war that America had after the Revolutionary War were with the Muslims. It was the Barbary Coast War. Now, the Barbary Coast War started because the trade going from America to England or Europe and back and forth, pirates, Muslim pirates, they would board the boats in war and they would cut off the heads of the sailors. And that's where the term leathernecks come from. You may have heard that term, leathernecks, if you haven't. But the term leathernecks come from those sailors who lost their lives because what we did in our and England too, what we all did with our sailors is they made them with uniforms that had very thick leather necks, because if they could get them a few extra seconds to defend themselves, they couldn't cut through the leather so quickly. But how does this relate to what you just heard? Because they would also take prisoners and make them into slaves in the Muslim countries. Then they would contact England and America and say, you want them back? It's going to cost you $10 million. Hamilton said, no, we're not negotiating with anybody because it only makes them want to do it again. You give them money. I mean, you can negotiate. Let me rephrase that. You can negotiate with them, but we're not going to pay them off with ransom money. And we learned early on not to do this. We had politicians, yes, in America that wanted to. But overall, they said, nope, we're not going to do this. We are not going to reward them from pirating and taking our people and killing them. And again, we learned this early on. Here, what you heard, Kirby, is, all right, we have five people. You got five people. Let's trade. And they said, yes, for $6 billion. And we said, okay. But then we said, you can only use it for humanitarian aid. And they said, oh, okay. But you give them $6 billion for humanitarian aid. Iran, by the way. They already had people in Iran, the leaders, saying, we're going to use it for whatever we want. Once they, you know, it's, you can't pay off that ransom money. Now they'll do it again. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, just facts here. Trump had 28 people that were freed from several countries. We got them back, and he didn't pay a dime for it because he negotiated like a businessman would. You know, other things, but nothing with money. But $6 billion for five people. Now, yes, I love to have them back. I'm grateful they're back. But $6 billion, they're going to do it again. But my point is, when Iran got that money for, quote unquote, humanitarian aid, it freed up money that they may have used for humanitarian aid from elsewhere. And they can apply that money. They are the supporters of Hezbollah and Hamas. So literally, we may have been the catalyst that paid for attacks in Israel. Just food for thought. What, and plus, what are we giving Iran? Why did we, listen, pallets and pallets and pallets of cash over 8 years ago was given to Iran. They did it again. They did it again. Giving them more money besides the $6 billion that we gave them years ago. They did it again now, saying, well, it was Iran's money. It's just that we're freeing it up for them. Yeah, right.
But isn't it true that this frees Tehran up to spend more on other nefarious goals like supporting terrorism and boosting its nuclear program?
And it's, you know, I can't predict what they'll do going forward here.
As Nancy explained to you, money's fungible.
Right.
And so any financial relief can be used by the regime in another way. And that's why there is real controversy to this.
It's fungible. You couple that with the president of Iran saying, I'm going to use the money however I want to. Where is that going to go? It's going to go into terror proxies. This will go into more terror operations where they try to kill Americans. They kill, you know, Israelis.
Money's fungible. This money is going to the Iran regime. It's a terrorist regime. It's the largest state sponsor of terrorism. And it's going to kill a lot of people, unfortunately.
You know, money is fungible, right? And so the Iranians will be able to use other funds for their illicit activities. We know they support terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas.
And that was from CNN, CBS, MSNBC, what you just heard. And it's, again, what we learned in the Barbary Coast Wars. You don't negotiate with terrorists. I like to go back into the mist of time. If I knew I was going to say that, I would play a harp soundtrack right now. But we're going to go back through the mist of time. Somebody who I admired so much, she's now passed away, Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers was an amazing, amazing woman. Besides the fact of being a very good comedian, she was very outspoken on politics. A lot of people don't know that. I've played her several times during the course of 12 years of doing this now. Ladies and gentlemen, Joan Rivers.
So I'm trying to get celebrity reactions to what's going on with the Palestinians and Israelis right now.
Let me just tell you, if New Jersey were firing rockets into New York, we would wipe them out. I am so bored. We heard they were digging tunnels from New Jersey to New York. We would get rid of Jersey. So I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, we'll do a partial truce. The Palestinians, you cannot throw rockets and expect people not to defend themselves.
What about the civilian casualty rate?
Then don't put your goddamn things in private homes. I'm sorry, don't you dare put weapon stashes in private homes, and then we say get out. Of course, we're gonna do it.
The response normally is where are the civilians supposed to go?
I don't care. They started it. You're all insane. They started it. What are you all saying? They started it. The Israelis did not throw their bomb. For months this has been going on.
How do you resolve
it? What are you supposed to do?
How do you resolve it?
How do I know? Because I have been over there. That's how I know. And I wish the world would know. And BBC should be ashamed of themselves. And CNN should be ashamed of themselves. And everybody, stop it already.
You know, like Dwight Howard tweeted, Free Palestine, Take It Back. Selena Gomez tweeted a pro-Gaza.
Oh, Selena Gomez. Oh, yeah, that college grad.
All right, John, thank you.
John, thank you so much.
Well, if Selena said that.
Then Rihanna has to take it back.
Let's see if she can spell Palestinian.
I'll ask her right now.
We love you, John.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
I do miss her. I tell you, she was a character. But she's right. Now, you see the protests all over America, Europe, Australia, Canada, many places. And they're pro-Hamas. And many of the refugees and the illegal immigrants in all of these countries with the Palestinian flag and whatever the flag is that they keep waving, who's paying for all these flags? They all got flags all of a sudden. They're tearing down posters of kidnapping people in New York of the Israelis that were kidnapped and have not been returned. There are American citizens tearing down these posters too. And they go, we need a ceasefire. But if somebody wants to annihilate you off the face of the world completely, why would you give them a ceasefire so they can rebuild? Do they want to annihilate 100% Israel or Israelis, Jewish people, throughout the world and Israel? Well, there are people saying, no, that's not what they want. It is what they want. And what better person to prove my point? Hamas spokesman, Ghazi Hamad. This is Arabic television, you know, like when you say CBS News, MSNBC, CNN. This is LBC is the network for it. LBC Live. Here we go. Let me lower it a little bit because I want to read what you're about to hear. I'll pause it right there. Israel is a country that has no place on our land. We must remove that country. Because it constitutes a security, military, and political catastrophe. To the Arab and Islamic nation and must be finished. We are not ashamed to say this with full force. We must teach Israel a lesson, and we will do this again and again. Now, I could go on, but you gotta get that. This is the spokesman for Hamas, Ghazi Hamad. They're not hiding it. When you see all these people that are protesting for, in support of Hamas, in America, and in Europe, and everywhere else I mentioned, what are they supporting? Well, how do you feel about gay people? I don't care about gay people at all. If you don't want to be gay, fine. Although I don't like it when they do the stuff with the children in like sixth grade and fourth grade. But, you know, leave the kids out of it. But whatever they want to be, I don't care. You want to be a trans this. You want to be a gay that. You want to be a lesbian over there. Go. But hey, pursuit of happiness. Do whatever you'd like. But in the Arab countries, and this is not propaganda. Oh, good Lord, I wish it was. I've seen the videos. I see things that many people don't get to see because of what I'm doing for 12 years here. And I've seen it many times. They film it with crowds below throwing gay people off rooftops from about 5-6 stories. On November 16th, about, a 15-year-old boy was tried in the Sharia court in Iraq for listening to music during prayer time and was beheaded in front of the eyes of a crowd that gathered in the square, cheering it on. Beheaded for listening to music. How about a little something here from the Quran? If I pronounce it right, Surah 9:5. Fight and slay the pagans wherever ye find them, seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them. They do not want peace with any non-Muslim. That's me saying that. They do not want peace with any non-Muslim. Now, there are many wonderful Muslims, and I know a few. There's a guy I work with. Oh, we talk all the time, and he's really a nice guy. But we're talking about now the extremists have become the majority of these people in many places. I have the name of a person. I'm going to call her Carla because that is her first name. But I'm not going to say the last name because I don't think I should. But Carla is a public relations strategist in New York City. Public relations. Keep that in mind. She got caught destroying posters of Israeli citizens kidnapped by Hamas, like I had earlier mentioned that is being done. They're being torn down by students in universities and like, oh my man. But it seems like a bad strategy to destroy those posters when you happen to be a public relations strategist in New York City and then get caught doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, case in point, here she is.
Excuse me, why are you tearing down the posters? Yeah, it's pretty funny that you're doing this.
It's pretty that you ain't educated.
I'm pretty educated, man. I'm from Israel. I know exactly what's going on over there.
You're from there? Oh, yeah. Oh, how many houses have you sold?
Hey, let me do me a favor, man. What's your name?
Do me a favor.
What's your name?
Go for yourself.
That's not a name.
Thank you. Yeah, they are, but don't worry about it.
No, don't worry. I'm not doing any physical harm to this guy. Oh, you too?
Thank you.
Another woman joins her now. They're both ripping down the posters of kidnapped Israelis from the paragliding from the first attack in New York.
All right, listen, say hello.
Not the attack in New York. I'm saying that she's ripping down the posters in New York.
Your face is going to be on the internet.
Yeah, it is.
And no, it is.
What? Track me.
Her
track
too.
Me. I can dare you.
I have no reason to track you.
Try
I just want
no,
people to see what
this.
The face of anti-Semitism
no,
looks
no,
like. It's really messed up that you're doing this. Her too, buddy.
No,
listen, I'm open to reason.
You don't reason with them.
This isn't reasoning. This isn't reasoning.
And she, did you hear her say, you don't reason with them?
This is plain anti-Semitism. It's messed up. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. Go ahead, finish this. Everybody on the internet is going to see what you guys look like. You want to say hello to the world? No? Okay. Well, the world sees you anyway.
Amazing. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show about our southern borders. We have people coming in full stadiums, like if you take like the giant stadium, every day, that's how many people are coming over. It's more than it's ever been before in history. Actually, just a few short years ago, it was so low in the past 40 years. But again, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing. This is an American thing. I am all for immigration. I love immigration, but I would love it to be legal. My grandparents coming over in Ellis Island, many people came over from Italy, Israel, wherever you can think of, we've come from the melting pot everywhere. Legal immigration is amazing. It's great. But when you have millions upon millions of people now coming, what was the figure? Over 2 million people in the past 2 years? 3 years, 2 million people. You don't know if they're vaccinated. You don't know if they're bringing any diseases. I want to know where the heck, they all have cell phones. I don't know. Where are they? They're walking thousands of miles. Where are they charging their phones? They get here and they're on the phone. But nonetheless, many want a better life. Granted, I know a few. I work, believe it or not, I work with a few illegal immigrants. They're wonderful people, many. But there are many that are coming here that aren't wonderful people. And that's the point. Ukraine. So far, $61.4 billion for Ukraine. $2 billion for Indo-Pacific people, countries. But almost every year, we give like $700 billion to other countries. Your tax dollars. $700 billion to other countries. Should I go through the whole list? I got it here, but that would probably bore you. But we give money to Pakistan. We give money to so many countries. $700 billion a year. Do you remember when Congress said to Donald Trump, we don't have $5 billion to give you to build a wall, but all of this money, and it's not even a wall. Get Border Patrol. Again, there are many good people that want a better life, but there are so many terrorists. They've caught over 130, I think, since in the past 2 years that were on the terrorist list. But again, Hamas supporters, going back to that, I just went off a little on a tangent, but it relates. But Hamas supporters, they want a ceasefire, and the ceasefire benefits Hamas. It doesn't benefit Israel. If Hamas was winning, let's say for a moment, do you think if Israel said we need a ceasefire, they would do it? No. This is less than a week old, I believe, about 5 days old. A pro-terrorist is screaming that they want inside the DNC, the Democrat National Committee headquarters. Is that what DNC? I'm drawing a blank, but you'd have heard of it. The DNC headquarters. We have an RNC. They got a DNC. Now, this pro-terrorist is screaming that, they want inside the DNC headquarters to make them call for a ceasefire. They're storming it, inciting the violence Well, here we go. 47 seconds.
We are outside the DNC. We're outside the Democratic Party headquarters because this party claims to be on the side of life and peace and equality. And we're saying that we want them to live up to their values and oppose this horrific war and call for a ceasefire now. And we're being responded to by the police shoving anti-war activists down the stairs, shoving peaceful protesters back with their bikes. And because our party that 80% of us want a ceasefire, would rather beat up protesters.
Hold on. By the way, she's right. The Democrats, I believe it was 80%, want a ceasefire. And I'll end it there. It goes on for another 10 seconds. But that does stump me because the majority of Jewish people in America overwhelmingly vote for Democrats. And I never quite understood it. But again, this isn't about Democrats and Republicans. This is about America and Israel and the world. And the people that are storming the DNC are Democrats. Republicans overwhelmingly are for Israel. And I'm not saying that the Democrat politicians, I believe, are for Israel as well. But the voters, you got a lot of Palestinian people. They really, if you're a supporter of Palestinian, it's overwhelmingly you're a Democrat. Again, let's just move on from that. But there she is. They're storming the DNC, demanding for a ceasefire. Students, they are pro-Hamas. They're against Israel. The Israeli students fear going to school and universities. Listen to this young student. It's not, and by the way, when I play one thing, this is representative of the majority. The polls are out there. It is the majority of people are now for Hamas. I don't get it. But when you bring in all these people that love Hamas and love Palestinian into your country, what do you think they're going to do? Change their minds? No.
I'm from Socialist Revolution, just the U.S. section of the International Marxist Tendency. Well, we stand wholeheartedly with Palestine.
So if you're a Marxist and a communist, you stand with the Palestinian people.
We believe they have every right to resist. They're occupiers, they're colonizers.
What would be the solution to the conflict in Gaza?
Yeah. Okay. Well, from here in the U.S., our job is basically to overthrow the U.S. ruling class through a socialist revolution because they give tons of military aid to Israel.
I'm going to end it there. Young socialists, they do not know what they do. Mm-mm-mm. A young gentleman walks up to people on a street and he's asking, you're going to catch on to this rather quickly. This was rather genius what this guy did to sign a petition. But listen to what the petition is and how he goes about it.
Doing a quick petition to help Hamas free Palestine.
A quick petition. You want to sign a quick petition for Hamas to free Palestine, okay? And I'll be quiet from this point on. Let me do it again.
Doing a quick petition to help Hamas free Palestine. You're all in?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, yeah, you're in?
Easily.
I just have to read terms and conditions just so you know what you're signing.
Okay.
By supporting Hamas freeing Palestine, you agree to the following. You agree that every Jew, Christian, and non-Muslim in the world must be slaughtered.
I don't know about that one.
You endorse making homosexuality punishable by jail or death.
What?
Oh, no, I don't.
You don't agree with that? You believe Iran should use Palestinians as puppets to spread radical jihad and destroy the West? No?
No.
I'm glad I read the terms and agreements. You support strict Sharia law, which bans women from showing their knees, hair, playing sports in public, not being able to travel without a man's permission.
I'm sorry.
Not interested? Oh, okay. You want a terrorist group that beheads babies and rapes girls to replace only democracy in the Middle East?
I'm not sure that's something to support.
So if I sign, I agree with this.
Yes.
Baby, no.
No? Okay.
Oh, no. Thank you.
No.
I don't support any of these two things that you just read to me, so then I won't be able to sign this then.
That's fair. Yeah, thanks for not signing. Yeah, all right.
He was giving them facts by saying you have to agree to these terms. They all said at first, to begin with, oh yeah, I'll sign it. Oh yeah, I'll sign it, until they hear what they do. As a matter of fact, stoning is still done. It was just done about a week ago, where a Muslim woman in, I think it was Iran, or was, no, it was Syria, where she was stoned to death because she left her home to go shopping without her husband. I remember about a year or two ago, there was a story that caught my eye. An Iranian actress was at the Cannes Film Festival, which is what, France? Because she had a film. She was there to publicize it. And the head of Cannes gave her a kiss on the cheek to welcome her. And she turned her cheek, you know, like women will do. Here's my cheek. And, you know, when she got back to Iran, she was whipped 40 lashes for a non-Muslim to kiss her on the cheek. And you know what they do in Afghanistan. They don't let women now go to school. And let's see, I've got, here is an image. I'm just going to read the sign now. This at a protest of where Hamas in New York City. And let's see what the sign says here. Now, this pro-Hamas guy is holding up a sign. We will defeat America by using the weakness of liberal leaders. I don't care if it's liberal or if it's a conservative, Republican, Democrat. They just want the world to be a Muslim nation, really, is what it is. Again, 80% of Democrats are supporting Muslims. That's in one of the CNN polls. And Marzia, oh boy, I probably ruined that name. I'm going to say it again if I get it right. Marzia Ebrahimi? My apologies. I just can't read sometimes. But an Iranian girl who was attacked by an Islamist with acid on her face, and you can tell half of her face, is a very, very, very pretty young lady. And the other side is the effects of the acid. And they threw acid on her face in 2014 for wearing a bad hijab. They didn't like the hijab. And in London, Muslims were throwing acid in the face of Londoners, English people, walking in the street, women, if they had a Star of David chain that was exposed on their neck. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if we threw acid on the face of Muslims because they happened to have a different religion? I have a photograph here. You cannot see my hand up to God. I'm not making it up. I actually have also videos with audio I'm not going to do because, anyway, let me just do it. The children in the Gaza Strip, a school where Palestinian children are indoctrinated and role play killing Israelis. They're only 8 years old, 7 years old. And then they become martyrs. They have these television shows in Palestinian that are like puppets, like Sesame Street, but they're killing Jewish children and people. And the photograph has little IDF, little uniformed soldiers here showing them killing Palestinian children. They're teaching them hate. And the parents are in the background, by the way. Again, it's not propaganda. It's out there. They don't hide it, is what I'm trying to say. Now, let's take a flip side to this for a moment. How is the IDF treating the Palestinian people while they're attacking or when they were attacking the Gaza Strip? Now, keep in mind, and it's not propaganda, we know it to be true, the Hamas will use hospitals schools to launch their attack. So when the Israelis attack them back to wipe them out, well, it makes great propaganda to say, look what Israel did to the Gaza Strip with us there. They were killing people, citizens. But what's the truth? Not my version of the truth. What's actually happening? Listen to this, if you will. It's going to probably not make sense, and then I'm going to explain it. Matter of fact, I'm going to explain it first, because you are going to hear something here. You're going to be hearing, Palestinians are trying to leave a hospital in Gaza as the IDF asked them so that they don't get hurt. Now, the IDF is there. They've moved in. They're taking these people, the Palestinians, out of the hospitals to get them safe. Now, Hamas terrorists are shooting at the people leaving, not the IDF soldiers, from a distance. Because they don't want them to escape, and they want them to stay in the hospital because they're human shields. They don't want these people to get free and then talk to the press about what was happening. Now, you're going to hear the gunshots. Hamas trying to kill them. IDF is taking them out. Now, I'm going to stop it there. You get the picture. But the Israelis are treating the Palestinian people better than Hamas does. Now, what you're not being told, when you hear the propaganda, it's the Jewish people that are tormenting the Palestinians. But when you listen to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, it's a big different story. I'd like you to hear this. We're going to be wrapping this up soon enough, but I just want to go a little further on now. I want you to hear, well, what is the IDF doing?
Did you see what the Israeli army did in Gaza? Oh my God. They stood by and secured humanitarian passage for Palestinians to safely evacuate to the south of Gaza.
I repeat, here is an Israeli tank protecting Palestinian civilians who are walking peacefully to a secure location in Gaza. Now, previously, this wasn't possible because Hamas was shooting Palestinian civilians who were trying to evacuate to the south of the Strip. But now that Israel's ground operation did this, they're able to secure this passageway for Palestinians fleeing the north without Hamas interference. Now, I think that it's fair to say that this is not a genocide, and it is just more proof that Israel cares more about the Palestinian people than Hamas does. So support Israel. Free Palestine from Hamas.
And she is absolutely right. That's what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, King Abdullah of Jordan, which now earlier in my show here that you heard, if you didn't, I'm going to say it again. Jordan, Palestinians were once in Jordan. That was where they were. They had nowhere to, that's where they were. And Jordan kicked them all out. Let's hear a little bit from King Abdullah of Jordan, shall we? This is not from many, many, many moons ago. This is now, recent.
Just a part of the question on the issues of refugees coming to Jordan. And I think I can quite strongly speak on behalf not only of Jordan as a nation, but of our friends in Egypt. That is a red line. Because I think that is the plan by certain of the usual suspects to try and create de facto issues on the ground. No refugees in Jordan, no refugees in Egypt.
And by the way, Nikki Haley, who's running for president, can't stand her. My humble opinion, I think she is a rhino. I hate rhinos. She wants as many, many Palestinians in America as we can get. Now, I'm all for if they happen to want to assimilate. But if you come here to protest how bad we are with your Hamas flags, death to America type of stuff, no, I don't want you here. Nikki Haley, Ilhan Omar, when politicians want what's not best for the American citizen, I'm against them. But you heard King of Jordan. We got rid of him once. Well, I'm paraphrasing. That's what I said earlier. But now he's saying, well, we don't want him now. The Muslim countries, there's many of them. If you saw the map, this huge area of Muslims from Africa, Middle East, and then you got this little itty bitty dot that's Israel. And all that huge area of all these countries, 30, so many of them that are Muslim. will not take Palestinian people. Mark Levin, hate them or love them, doesn't matter. This is, I'm trying to be as non-political as I can. I just want you to hear what he says. He's a Jewish man himself. It's noteworthy, quote, it's noteworthy that not a single Arab country has offered to accept Gaza Palestinians, not one. And they are silent about Egypt keeping closed the main passageway for the Gaza Palestinians to leave Gaza, because Egypt doesn't want Gaza Palestinians coming into their country either. J.K. Rowling. Now, I'm sure you are familiar with her. I believe that's the one with, what's that called, Harry Potter, the novelist who created those movies or the books. Quote from her. We said never again. The UK was a safe haven. Now, after for Jewish people, I believe she meant, the UK was a safe haven. Now, after the biggest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust, British Jewish children are being advised to hide their identities as they walk to school for their own safety. Now, earlier I mentioned about the border, you know, the illegal immigrants. Where they get the money to come here, I don't know. And what I mean, not here, America, I mean 6,386 Afghanistans. How do you get from Afghanistan all the way to the Mexican border? Egypt, 3,153. Iran, 659. This is off the border in the past 2 years. Iraq, 123. Jordan, 185. Lebanon, 164. Pakistan, 1,613. Syria, Turkey, 30,803. And they're allowed in. We do not have border security. I don't know how you feel about Netanyahu. I think he's a good man. No gold in my ear. But I think he's a good man. I think he's got the best interest of Israel at heart. I would like to close the show from a word from him.
Hamas are the new Nazis. Hamas is ISIS, in some instances worse than ISIS. And just as the world united to defeat the Nazis, just as the world united to defeat ISIS, the world has to stand united behind Israel to defeat Hamas. This is a part of an axis of evil, of Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas. Their goal, open goal, is to eradicate the state of Israel. The open goal of Hamas is to kill as many Jews as they could, and the only difference is they would have killed every last one of us, murdered every last one of us, if they could. They just don't have the capacity, but they murdered an extraordinary 1,300 civilians, which in American terms is like many, many, many 9/11s. So obviously we must take action to defeat Hamas and to ensure that this doesn't happen again. But this is not only our battle, it is our common battle, the battle of civilization against barbarism. And if it's not stopped here, this savagery will reach you very soon and reach the entire world.
And by the way, I believe he was speaking in Germany when he says it will reach you. I see what I believe to be German flags and Israeli flags behind him. So with that said, I just, my heart goes out to all the people of Israel all over the world, Jewish people all over the world. And there are many good Muslims. I'm not saying that there aren't. I am only focusing on the ones that want to get Israel off the face of the earth, the Jewish people, and take any freedom-loving country with them, because they hate America, London, France, Canada, Australia. And it's really not a Democrat or a Republican thing, because not only that, but I mean, when you say Democrat, Republican, I mean, that's not England, France, you understand. This is a problem for everybody. Israel has a right to exist. 1948. They became a nation again. But if you look at the Old Testament, the Jewish people were there first. They didn't take over this land. And I'm not trying to make a Christian thing out of this, but in Revelations, New Testament, at the end in the Revelations, one of the signs that you are at the end times of Revelations is that when Israel becomes a nation again, that will begin the process of Revelations. I could go into it a lot more. I won't. Is there anything else that might relate to it, though? kind of like an interesting point. This is a little trivia. Isaac Newton. Yes, I said Isaac Newton. Now, you're probably going to say, what the heck does Isaac Newton have to do with this topic? Well, Isaac Newton, as you probably know, was sitting down and an apple falls on his head and he goes, ah, gravity. We've all heard that story, which, by the way, was actually factual because he saw an apple fall and it did, well, he felt an apple fall. It really did happen. And he said, well, why does it go down? And it gave the whole process of gravity. So what's this got to do with what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know. Isaac Newton didn't just discover gravity. He was also an incredible scientist, a physicist type of thing in his own day, in his own right. But he was also a very religious man. And he wanted to go to the Old Testament. And he was fascinated studying the Old Testament. And he looked at signs from Ezekiel and all the signs that would point to the end of the world. Now, it says in the Bible, no one's going to know. And that, you know, God would keep that secret. No one's going to know. So no one, but he spent over 20 years studying every little aspect of the Bible, trying to put together when the end of the world or civilization would be. 20 years he did this, and he came up with a year. Now, I'm not saying he's right. He might not even be in the ballpark. It could be a billion years off for all I know, but I'm going to tell you the date he came up with. He came up with an area of from 2030 to 2040. That's kind of weird because we see the signs now, or what appears to be like, I mean, really, Iran is minutes away from having 3 nuclear bombs. Israel is only like the size of New Jersey. It's a scary thought where we're going. And where did they get the plutonium for it? Russia. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton sold from the State Department, Russia, plutonium? Like, what are you doing? It seems that Republicans and Democrats do not have the best interest of its people. And you don't make friends by wanting everybody to like you, by placating to everybody, in my humble opinion. Well, with that said, we're going to end the show. And again, this was a little special type of thing because I wanted to really touch on several different topics all on the same subject. And again, I dedicate this show to a very good friend of mine who happens to be Jewish. And I stand by her and her boyfriend completely and with all the Jewish people and all the Israeli people and all the peace-loving people in the world. So take care, everybody. The Marty O Show. My show is going to be changing, by the way. I've been doing this for 12 years, and my show is going to be going on. Well, let's just say that I'm going to strive to be a show of interest for both parties. Let's put it that way. So take care, everybody. We'll see you again next week, although I doubt it. Maybe a couple of weeks from now. Who knows? But we'll be back. Take care. Bye-bye.